Let us join together in prayer as we prepare to hear Scripture read. God of wisdom, by your Spirit, may your word be proclaimed, that we may know good news in our hearts and minds and bear witness to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in word and in deed. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that we might hear your word to us today. Amen. Our first of two scripture readings comes from a book that I bet for many of us has not been read for a while. We will be reading from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 9. Not often heard of, the prophet Haggai is a very short book, only two chapters long. Haggai seeks to encourage the people of Judea to rebuild the temple and to hold fast to the glory of God. Let us listen to God's word together. On the 24th day of the month in the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnants of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. The second reading today continues in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. Jesus is being challenged once again by the religious men in authority. This time, the Sadducees try to knock Jesus off balance with a made-up what-if story. Let us listen to the word of the Lord together. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. And then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. And Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Luke is a battle worthy of our attention. The chapter begins with a challenge to Jesus' authority. The chief priests and the scribes and elders were wandering around together, looking to pick a fight with a rabbi from the sticks. By whose authority, they asked Jesus, who replies as he often does with a question. And it's a question they don't want to answer because it seems like a no-win situation for them, so they toss it back. This goes on for a while as they try to catch Jesus in some sort of wrong answer. Jesus then says there's no point in going on then, and doesn't answer their original question. He then turns to the crowd gathered and slaps the authorities across the face, so to speak, with a blistering parable that is so obvious even they recognize that they are the bad guys in this story. And so they turn to a political trap and ask Jesus to weigh in on a tax issue. This is right before the scripture reading that we read today. Jesus also refuses to answer in a way that satisfies them. And so next, they fall back on a last-ditch ploy. They call in the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the social and economic and intellectual one percenters of their day. Now, normally, the priests and scribes and Pharisees had nothing to do with them, but desperate moments call for desperate strategies. And so they invite the Sadducees to ask a question to Jesus. Now, one thing is clear in this text, and that is that the theology of the people of God in the time of Jesus was not of one thought. There were variations on all sorts of themes through the different strata of thinkers and teachers of the day. Luke tells us that on the issue of resurrection, the Sadducees were of the opinion that the resurrection was just a fairy tale, not supported at all by scripture. And to be clear, scripture for the Sadducees was the Torah, full stop. The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament. The rest was merely commentary in their thinking. For them, Moses was the author of all that they needed to know. Having chosen the battleground, Jesus enters the fray perfectly, willing to play by their rules. The Sadducees say, Moses says, so Jesus replies with, Moses says, to meet them in their arena. He uses the Sadducees' rules and fights on their ground to show them another way to look at the scriptures they love. The Sadducees try to trip Jesus with an outrageous story about the Mosaic law regarding marriage. They concoct this ridiculous scenario to show that resurrection as a concept is ludicrous. To the Sadducee, eternity was in the offspring, not in some other world. The Sadducees refused the idea of a continuation of life after death. According to them, everything comes to an end with death. Therefore, life is to be lived as fully as possible within the boundaries of earthly time. Jesus responds to their story by saying, you're comparing apples to oranges and you're missing the point of eternity. Then Jesus stuns them by saying that even Moses knew about life after death because God's calling card says, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and not God of those used to be God of former folk. So Jesus says God is the God of the living, not the dead, not the no longer existing. This is such a radical thought that even some of the scribes that are listening to this exchange answer with, well, good point. The point that Jesus is making to the Sadducees and to all of God's people is that death is the end of many things, but it is not the end of everything. Our death is not the end of God. It is in the sacrament of baptism in which we see the full embrace of God for God's people. In his compassion, God puts us in his heart, and we will not ever be excluded from it. Evie will not be excluded from God's love ever. None of us will. We humans are not eternal, but God's love for humans is eternal. In the sacrament of baptism, we are not only reminded that God claims us long before our understanding and choosing of God, but we are also reminded of the promise of the resurrection for all of us who trust and believe in Jesus Christ. The mystery of the resurrection revealed by Jesus is that heaven is a place where those who have been dehumanized will be restored, where those who have been oppressed will be set free, and those who have been treated as inferior will be raised and called beloved. In heaven, those who are children of the resurrection will know the joy and peace that was kept from them on earth. And until we reach that full realization of heaven and God's eternal purpose for God's children, the Spirit abides. That's the message that Jesus offers us in this exchange. When we stumble over questions of how this world folds into the next one, our answer is, God's got this. Even when we don't understand death or life, God's got this. Even when we can't answer all the questions Evie might have about her Christian faith, the answer is always, God's got this. And even when our hearts break and our vision is cloudy, we are reminded that God's got this. When it seems like everything is broken and violence rules the day and division is the mode of this life, God's got this. The Spirit abides and we are invited to live differently, to value differently, to hope continually, and to praise constantly, because God's got this. Sadducees live among us this day. We don't call them by that name, but there are men and women who have no understanding of life beyond what we experience on earth. And yet Jesus says to them, God is the God of the living, the God of newness, forgiveness, and liberation. How life is today does not determine how it will always be. Suffering keeps people from imagining new possibilities, but faith provides hope. And therein lies the privilege we have to make a covenant with Evie today and to her parents, Ryan and Tara. We have the joy of helping Ryan and Tara remind Evie that no matter what she goes through day by day and year by year, the faithfulness of God is immeasurable and inexhaustible. And in that faithfulness, we find enough to endure all that life and death will ask of us. In the French Reformed tradition, their baptismal liturgy includes words spoken to an infant or child at their baptism. I love these words, and I invite you to listen to them as they are spoken, not only for Evie as we have celebrated her baptism, but for all of us this day. For you, little child, Jesus Christ has come. He has fought and he has suffered. For you, he entered the shadow of Gethsemane and the horror of Calvary. For you, he uttered the cry, "It is finished." For you, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and there he intercedes. For you, little child, even though you do not know it. But in this way, the word of the gospel becomes true. We love him because he first loved us. Friends, let us abide in the Spirit, remembering that there will be a day in which we will all live with eternal joy and peace. Alleluia. Amen.